Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I was going to do a walk and talk, but it is too windy. And what that means is I have to sit on the deck if I want to do a podcast outside. And I want to do a podcast outside because you can hear the wind in the trees. And that is a sound that we will not be hearing much longer because it's fall. It's the equinox, full moon. And so I'm just going to sit on the deck and do this podcast, which would normally be a walk and talk. And of course, the rules of the walk and talk are no real prep and just stream of consciousness. So I have a couple things I want to talk about in this podcast, podcast 759, namely the contribution that podcasting makes and how hard it is a little bit. And I want to talk about nuclear war, too. So if I can keep the microphone out of the wind, then we're going to be okay. And we're going to do that in this podcast, podcast 759. Got to tell you that this week, so the week of the last week in September, the Thursday, I'm going to be emceeing the Citizens Council for Health Freedom event Thursday, September 27, 2018 at Edinburgh, USA. If you want to know information on this, just go to cchfreedom.org and you'll see all the information. Just quickly, Kevin Smith, MD, is going to be the keynote at this thing, and he has created an affordable cash-based surgery center of Oklahoma that's getting all kinds of talk and information. I don't think there's a more serious issue, to tell you the truth, than health insurance. We call it health care, but really it's a question of insurance. And CCHF has done so much great work. Twyla Braze has done great work at figuring out and helping to figure out this issue. So I'm real happy to MC that event Thursday, September 27th, 2018. You can get tickets or get a table. All the information is there at cchfreedom.org. And I got to mention that it is fall, and fall means that you should probably check your heating, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They do quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, and of course, heat is air conditioning, right? I'll tell you more about that later in the podcast. Yeah, the bane of my existence to doing podcasts outside is the wind. And it's just, it can be really, it's distracting to me. And I know it's distracting to things that I listen to when I hear wind in the microphones. It's horrible. And so I'm probably more self-conscious about it than people listening. But what I want to get is that sound of the wind in the trees. What I don't want to get is this. Right? So that's what I'm struggling with. So, coming off of 9 podcasts that were heavily prepped and very detailed, the 9 podcasts about the so-called toss-up races for election 2018. So I'm trying to figure out how many elections, Senate, Governor, and House, probably 50 or 60 different analyses that had to take place. And then those had to be outlined, and I did it for myself. And I thought it was going to be 3 podcasts. I thought I would do the Senate, the Governors, which I was able to do in 2. And then I thought, oh, well, I'll just do all 42 toss-up races for the House in 1 podcast. Well, that turned out to be, what, 6 or 7 podcasts. So something like 8 or 9 podcasts were done just to be able to lay them all out in detail and then do some kind of analysis at the end. And that is what I'm coming off of. And I want to talk a little bit about podcasting and... You know, it's people ask me all the time, you know, hey, I want to do a podcast. What do I do? Or they want to do one for their business, or they want to do a podcast because they think they'd be great at podcasting. And I want to address that because I run into that all the time. And I know that other podcasters do. So if you tell people you're a podcaster, then they think that you help people do podcasts. They don't meet too many people, and it's because there's not too many of us who are who have built a business out of doing a podcast. And I'm certainly not getting rich But the thing for me, and the most exciting thing for me, is being able to do it. And I don't really care about the money. Obviously, I want to grow a business, but getting rich is not part of the picture. It's the doing of it. And I often ask people, okay, you want to do a podcast? You probably got one idea in your head about a podcast, but do you have 1,000 of them? Because what happens with this is it gets difficult if you're at all self-aware, because what happens is after a while you've done everything that you could ever possibly think that you could do with a podcast, and then you have to come up with something else. You have to figure out what this is all about. And I've discovered that I think what happens is, and I had it too, you think, oh, I'm going to have some friends over and we're going to have a really good time and have conversations, and it's going to be incredible. And you might be able to do that once. Most of us can't do it even once. You end up with 2 hours of stuff that you have to edit, and even that is not very good. And you just can't reach that level. And this is with, 40 years of broadcast experience of learning, how to do that in 10 minutes or less. So for people that don't know, they might have one or two podcasts that they think are great, but then you have to start thinking about what you want to talk about, figuring out how you're going to talk about it, and then talk about it. And of course, one of my pet peeves is people think, "Oh, I'm going to have people on. I'm going to do interviews and have people on, and that's going to be great." Except what's happened is that you are having people on, and then you don't have to work very hard. So you don't have to know anything about the topic, and you don't have to prepare really, because you're going to have somebody on, and all you got to do is ask them a few questions, and that's your content. And that seems to be a big thing with podcasting that people do a lot, is they have their neighbor on, or they have a friend on. No, I do it occasionally. I do it when I'm lazy, or I do it when I have somebody that I really want to talk to and I really want to have on, because I really think that what they are doing is interesting. But most of the time, this ends up being something that takes a while to do. You don't just, occasionally I do, and I am doing it tonight, just sitting down and doing a podcast. But if you want to do it for any length of time, and if you want the podcast to be valuable, and if you want the content to be valuable, most of the people I know that do this, that are any good at it, really think it through about what they want to do and why they're doing it and what it's all about. And that's what's great about it, because when you think it through and you do something that you've really thought through, and I'm speaking about myself when I say this, but also to people that are thinking about doing podcasts, and then you have something, then you say, wow, that's pretty amazing, because I couldn't do 9 podcasts about the toss-up races on the radio. It would be impossible. Radio wouldn't be able to do that. And so whether it is the history of Rome or something else, whether it's a mystery story or an audio novel, so to speak, or a series about something, that's what podcasting does. It is possible to do a long series of podcasts on something, and people don't have to listen to all of them. They can listen to one or two of them. They can listen to them or not listen to them. If they like the subject, some people aren't into the history of Rome. If you are, there's a whole series of podcasts on the history of Rome that you can listen to. I think that's amazing. And I think that's something that television can't do that. No one would watch it. And broadcast radio can't do that. No one would listen to it. I mean, even channels, like Netflix or HBO or whatever, when you watch a documentary, it's a film that is, put together and edited together and presented as a case in 45 minutes or an hour. Doesn't matter what it's about, whether it's about Jack Pershing or whether it's about, JFK's assassination or whatever. Those kinds of things usually aren't series. They can be mini series. They can be dramatic series. But podcasting is unique in that a podcaster can sit down and say, I'm going to tell you everything I found out about this particular topic. And so you do it, and then you end up with a series like that. Now, that's the first time I've done that. I've never done that before, so that's kind of neat for me, because I've never done a whole series of podcasts on anything, because I thought, and I still think, that people aren't going to follow all the way through something that's a series. Even when I was covering the presidential campaign, which I'm going to do again, by the way, in a year, when I was doing that, then there were other things to talk about. There were the places I was visiting, there was the road itself, and I didn't really have to think too hard about doing different a political podcast and then a different kind of podcast, or incorporating non-political content into a podcast to change the subject of the podcast around to keep it interesting instead of it always just being the same thing. And I think that's one of the things that this medium, as it is developing, and it is developing, is really getting right. So there are things about podcasting that you could do when we started this in 2009 or 2006 or 2007, depending on certain people and when they started. There were things that you could do that you wouldn't do now because the medium has progressed. And so now it's getting a little bit more focused, and we're still, as podcasters, trying to find our way, and if we're doing this at all, and again, if we're self-aware about it at all, we're trying to find our way and figure out what this medium is and how it works. It is very much one-to-one. It is very much a personal relationship between me, the podcaster, and you, the listener, and you try to think of one person that you're talking to at a time rather than a whole audience. It's very much growing very quickly, and I always give statistics out, but 70, 80 million people download a podcast once a week or a month or whatever the measurement is, and penetration of podcasts is at least 35%. I think it's much more than that. I just think that the measurement capabilities haven't caught up with it yet. We podcasters have much better analytics than the broadcasters. So anybody that's on any kind of a digital platform, and that includes Netflix and HBO and anybody that comes over the internet, even if it's onto your television, we have way better analytics than anybody in broadcasting has, because we know exactly who is watching and who is listening, down to being able to find the IP and go look at their house if we want to. Sorry, but it's true. So we have tremendous amounts of information, and we also have the ability to mine all kinds of sociographic and demographic and psychographic data about listeners and subscribers if we want to. And that's kind of an interesting journey down, an OCD rat hole, if you really want to do that. I love data, and I love looking at data because it tells me a lot about what I'm doing, but it's not all about data. This still is very much an expressive medium. It's a medium for people to express how they feel about stuff and what they feel about stuff and why they feel about stuff and talk about things in perspective, as opposed to having to fit something into a 10-minute segment on the radio or fit something into some kind of documentary, if it's television, or even on YouTube. You know, you don't see people just talking for 2 hours. Yes, there are people that do that, but they don't last. So YouTube is its own thing, too. So, they have to kind of think about how they want to produce stuff and how it's going to look, and it's really all about television, which is one of the reasons I like podcasting so much, because it's all about the theater of the mind. Literally, it's all about the experience of listening, and that's why I like podcasting so much. So there's a lot of reasons why it's great, and so in terms of its contribution, I think podcasting has a tremendous opportunity to contribute. I still have found no one that has done anything like the 9 podcast series on the toss-up elections. There are certainly people writing about it. There are certainly websites that have information. But all that stuff for the average listener is spread out all over the internet, and you have to know where to look to find that information. And what I've done in 9 podcasts is bring it all together into some sort of cogent conceptual place where you can listen to it and think about it. And it'll stay current until we get right close to the election. So that's why I did it. The other thing about that was, as I said in the analysis, in the summary, you can't start it and then stop. You got to do it all the way through. And honestly, well, I did, actually. I did the governor's, the Senate, and the House stuff all pretty much in a line. You can't stop and do something else, because if you wait too long, you're talking about a moving target. So I don't need to do that, because I don't really need to get into that, because I've talked about it in the analysis. But that's one of the things I found really interesting about that, and I'm glad I did it. And it's a cool thing that podcasting can do. So if you have something that's deep enough, you can prep it out and say, okay, it's going to take 10 podcasts or 9 podcasts or 6 podcasts, and I'm just going to do this. It's a far cry from sitting down with some friends and setting up microphones at the table and having a raucous good time drinking some beer and talking about stuff, and then just going, I'm just going to make a podcast out of this. You know, yeah, maybe 10 years ago you could do that. Now I don't. You'd have to be, you'd either have to be, you know, a huge star, somebody that people won't hang on every word that you say, or you'd have to be extremely talented to make something like that truly entertaining. And that's something for podcasters. It isn't a question of can you do 10 podcasts. It's a question of can you do 1,000 podcasts. And I don't know, because I haven't done 1,000 podcasts, so we'll see if I can do 1,000 podcasts or not. I find myself getting yet even more enthusiastic about doing this and about podcasting in general, especially when I do something that I've never done before, and I'm proud of it, and I like it, and I think it's neat, despite all my crazy mispronunciations. Which brings me to, let me stand up here a little bit, which brings me to our state of mind right now, especially after doing 9 podcasts about the toss-up races, and then going back and seeing what is going on in the news. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So many things these days are commodities, whether it's a gas station or a coffee store. When was the last time you went someplace locally and thought to yourself, you know, I wish I would have known about this 10 years ago? And yet, that's the kind of experience that's key when it comes to your important things. And that's the kind of experience that Johannken Jewelers is all about. Let me tell you about Johannken Jewelers. They're in Crystal. They have been in the same family for generations. And for the things that are dear to you, they are the jeweler that you can trust. Johannken Jewelers in Crystal, Minnesota. As I said, they've been in the same family since 1886. They're not a chain. They are a local family, and they like the things that are the most important to you. I have seen people show me things that they have cleaned up, whether it's an old watch or a compact or something to that effect, and it's amazing what they can do. They are known. Johannken's is known for rebuilding and repairing crowns and settings to perfection for rings, diamonds, and gemstones, any and all jewelry repairs, and watch restoration and service. I was down there. Todd Johannken is a friend of mine, and they have a collection of watches that is really, truly amazing. Railroad watches, which made me think about, you know, my grandfather's railroad watch, things like that, and a selection of vintage wristwatches and timepieces, which you have to see to believe. So check out johannkenjewelers.net. Lots of great advice and information, including a great recent article about jewelry trends for fall, which they're going to be updating. Again, Johannken's at 115 Willow Bend in Crystal. Call them at 763-537-7233. That's 763-537-7233. Or click on the elegant Johannken's Jewelers banners at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. I did the work. I went down and I looked at all the data and ended up doing 9 podcasts. Lots of effort at collating information and pulling it all together and writing them out and presenting the information. And I wasn't really paying any attention to what was going on in the world, other than just kind of occasionally checking the polls and making sure that I was on track in terms of what I was doing and rushing to get it all done for a lot of reasons. One, I have a lot of other work to do this month. I have projects to do for people that I'm consulting, and I have things that I have to do, and I need to get to those things. So I had to get that finished before last week of September, so I can get to the work that I have to do in addition to the podcasting stuff and my business stuff. But I would sit there all day or all night and go through all the data and look at information and try to figure out how to collate it, and I'd be in this sort of this world of there's this many people in a district and there's this many candidates and here's the existing polls and this is what happened in the last election, which is a concrete world such as it is in terms of politics. It's a political, if you will, a political science world where you're dealing with data that's not going to change because it's 5 years ago or 10 years ago or whatever, 4 years ago or 2 years ago. And then I would look at the Drudge Report, I would look at headlines somewhere, or I would watch something, and I don't watch, so it would be very unusual for me to watch, but I would watch something online, and I'd just be continuously appalled at the tone and the presentation of what we think of as news in today's world. And as we, in this fall equinox with the full moon and the wind in the trees, begin this process of going through this portal, so to speak, to a new season, and also watching the summer die and the sort of the winter come on, and this whole period of time during the year when we just kind of shut down in some ways because it's not summer. And you really notice it if you are in the Midwest, because we have these stark shifts of reality in a season. Sometimes I stand out here on my deck, and now my deck is full of, you know, verdant green. It's just full of trees and bushes and all kinds of stuff all around this deck. And it's shocking to me how I can look out this window, I can stand on this deck in January, and it is completely different place. And you know, especially if it's a snowy day and the clouds are low and it's snowing and it's deep and, you know, we're in the midst of a heavy snowfall, and you're just like, how is this even the same place? So we're going through this sort of portal to change in the fall and into winter, and then we'll go through it again at the end of winter and into spring and summer, which is always wonderful. And I try not to think about that because we won't be seeing that for quite some time. And as we go through this, I can't help but kind of look, come out, sort of surface from this heavy process of looking at data and figuring out what the electoral picture could be, what the options are in terms of what may or may not happen, and then come back and look at how, you know, we are talking about politics and how political stuff is discussed on Facebook, and how it feels completely. First of all, and I have to say this because I cannot make this point strongly enough. It's just something that, you know, just is amazing to me. The degree to which opinionating segues into predicting the future is, it isn't even shocking. I would say shocking, but shocking seems not even close to what it is. It's the way we live now. Always thinking about the next day. Always thinking about the next week. Always thinking about next month. Always thinking about what's going to happen. We're not living in the present. We're living in this world where we're constantly thinking, not what we're going to do, not how we're going to live our lives, but we're thinking, and we're being pushed to think, oh, you know, we're going to have a depression because the debt is $21 trillion. Or, oh, you know, something terrible is going to happen because, you know, we have this crazy person as president and everyone says so, so it must be true. And, oh, this hurricane is going to destroy the planet and kill so many people, and it's so sad. And the weight of the world is constantly on our shoulders if we spend any time spending a moment watching cable television news or really on the internet looking at news. It's one of the reasons that I would rather podcast than be on the radio, because I can turn it off and I can think about stuff and talk about stuff that is affecting me and do podcasts and think about and research things that is part of, you know, life and not necessarily in the headlines. And I just find it really disturbing, I guess is the way to say it. It's disturbing to me that we're living in this environment, and it's almost impossible for people to figure out how things are going, really going. And I guess you'd have to say, well, how things going in your life? Now, by the way, I've often said, you know, if we're talking about the economy and somebody says, well, you know, my business, I always say, well, that's not, just because you are having that experience doesn't mean that that's what's happening. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what we're getting about in our life to get done. Or, you know, somebody's having a baby. Somebody's buying a new house. Somebody's sick and not expected to live. Somebody broke a leg. Somebody went somewhere and something happened and they're stuck. Somebody lost their job. Those are things happening in people's lives. Some people, somewhere, things are going good. And we end up filling our minds with these thoughts of morbid thoughts about terrible things that are going to happen, because we're constantly being told that terrible things are going to happen. Now, I do have a theory that I think the media is making an egregious mistake in reporting things from a basis of opinion. And I think they are engaged in wishful thinking right now. I think that they are selling an opinion on a potential outcome of something that's very difficult to predict, because it's 435 individual elections, and it's 50 individual elections above that at the statewide level. So you have 50 states that are conducting elections. Most of them have an average of 8 to 9 districts, and so there's enormous numbers of elections going on, and it's impossible to take all those elections and find a number that expresses what the outcome of those elections will be. And yet, they are telling us what's going to happen. And I think there's going to be a backlash to it at some point. Maybe not. And I'm not predicting what's going to happen. I just think there should be a backlash, is what I guess I'm trying to say, because we are being told constantly, and I see it, and other things. And you really saw it with the hurricane. I see it as a huge manipulation. I was having a conversation this weekend with a friend, and we were talking about the hurricane, and I said what I just said, that the networks and the Weather Channel and everything else predicted that this was going to be the end of the world. It was the biggest hurricane in the history of hurricanes, and they all are every time. And she said, well, the flooding was terrible. And I said, yeah, but that's the thing about hurricanes in coastal areas. They cause flooding, and they have since hurricanes were not even logged. There were storms and caused flooding and all sorts of, you know, pandemonium and chaos since people have been around. I mean, since before people have been around, and nobody ever knew. Now suddenly, every single storm can be seen on radar, and every little thing that happens is logged, and someone somewhere is going to tell you what that means. And they don't know necessarily what it means. You know, when the winter comes and it's cold, things are going to freeze. And if you're outside, you're going to have a hard time. When the hurricane comes, if you're standing on the beach, probably not a good place to be during a hurricane. I don't see how that's really news. So everything now has reached this level of national disaster, and its potential victims, regardless of what it is. And everything comes with a prediction, and everything comes with all this data about how it's unprecedented. And, you know, this guy's never been this unpopular, and this situation has never occurred before, and everything is unprecedented. And I think it contributes to this feeling of powerlessness and a feeling of fear and loathing. And I noticed something that I'm not sure what I think of this, but it's very interesting to me, and it involves nuclear war. So I want to talk to business people, because business people need to get paid. And one of the biggest bugaboos, one of the banes of our existence in business, especially small business, is payment processing. And I am working with ReliaFund, which is a great payment processing company. I have a ReliaFund button on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. If you have a business, if you do business online, if you are looking for back office solutions, if you're a developer and you're doing that work for clients, listen up, because these messages are for you. So ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been doing this for 20 years. Integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than two decades. Yes, they can handle credit card problems if you have problems. If you're paying too much, if you want a solution to credit card processing, they can help you. They also do checks. It's all about getting you paid sooner, which really helps cash flow for small businesses. Once again, no long-term contracts, technology-focused. Their number is 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040. They are great people. You will talk to a human being if you call them, Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, 866-243-5040, or check them out online at ReliaFund.com. That's R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, ReliaFund.com. So I watch a lot of YouTube, and if you watch YouTube signed out, okay, I don't sign into my account to watch YouTube, I sign out. But if you watch YouTube signed out, what's really interesting is that it starts to feed you what you've been watching, right? And probably about 3 weeks ago, now maybe it was longer than that, a couple of months ago, I started noticing things about nuclear war on my YouTube feed. And they were snippets of the movie A Day After, The Day After, which was that classic early 80s made-for-TV movie with Jason Robards about the, you know, a nuclear attack. And if you'll recall, at that time, the big, huge fight was that Senate Democrats were in favor of a nuclear freeze and Republicans were in favor of, building up our defenses. And there was a huge fight over the nuclear freeze thing. And that was one of the dominant issues. And, you know, Reagan was deploying the MX missile in Europe and the Europeans were protesting about it and everything. That was what was going on. So they made The Day After. They also made a movie called Testament. And Testament is actually the better of the two because it's they're both hysterical. And I don't mean funny. I mean they're hysterical. And both of them describe what would happen after a nuclear attack. So The Day After is The Day After, obviously. And Testament is the story of a small town, probably fictitious small town, Hamlin, California, which is in Northern California in the story, and the aftermath of a nuclear attack for a family, Sans husband, who happened to be in San Francisco when the attack occurred. So it's Jane Alexander and her kids, dealing with this, the aftermath of a nuclear attack in this small town in California. And I've been noticing that these little references to nuclear war have been showing up on my feed. And I'd be interested if that is happening to anybody else. And I'm going to tell you why in a second. So one of the things that showed up was former Defense Secretary Perry is spearheading this effort to bring back concerns about nuclear proliferation and nuclear war in the current time frame. Isn't it interesting that there's a Republican president who is trying to do the same thing? And by the way, I'm not making a value judgment about Trump. I'm just saying this is one of his things, is building up the defensive capabilities of the United States or offensive capabilities of the United States military. And he's spending a lot of money to do that, which is one of the reasons the GDP is improving. And it's also one of the reasons that our debt is increasing. But that's neither here nor there. Isn't it interesting that suddenly now we are starting to see these little, or at least I am, these little snippets of documentaries and interviews with former Defense Secretary Perry, which I'm pretty sure Perry was a Clinton Secretary of Defense. And he's got this foundation or something that he's been working on to deal with this proliferation of nuclear weapons. And, on balance, I suppose it's something that's important. We aren't thinking too much about nuclear war. We're thinking about terrorism. Certainly a nuclear device would be part of, any terror attack that could potentially really damage things. But I was watching, I have Amazon Prime, and I'm a heavy consumer of drama on television. I don't watch TV news, but I watch a lot of drama. And I toggle back and forth between HBO and Showtime and Amazon Prime and Netflix, and occasionally I'll get one of these memberships for free for a couple of months and then dump it just because I want to watch everything. And there's something like 435 scripted drama shows on television. So you couldn't possibly, you would be zealot. Speaking of drama, you'd be zealot if you watched all of them. You would not have time for life. You'd spend all of your time watching television. But I have Amazon Prime, and this weekend I was looking for something to watch, and I'm toggling down to the movies, and I'm like, oh my God, there's Testament, which was made in the 80s. And I watched it because I wanted to watch it, but I thought halfway through, I'm watching it, I'm going, and finally I stopped myself and I said, why is this on my feed? Like, why is this up on my Amazon feed? And why are these nuclear, now on YouTube, you know, they're running, you can watch the whole movie if you want to on YouTube. You can watch parts of all kinds of end of the world movies. There's a bunch of them that have been showing up on my YouTube feeds where, and there are also, you know, actual video clips from television news of the guys in the missile ranges and everything else, which, you know, I gotta tell you the truth, I haven't seen anything like that. Any kind of media, there haven't been any shows, about anything involving a nuclear strike in a long time. There was some show on CBS about 10 years ago now, in which a nuclear weapon, Jericho, and no, you never found out what happened. And then, of course, there was the famous 24, where they actually detonated a nuclear device. But that was a terrorist. That wasn't a full exchange, a military exchange between two adversaries using today's nuclear weapons. And I think it's fascinating that this has shown up on my feed. And guess what? It's very interesting to watch the thought processes that, you know, this is something I hardly ever think about. If I think about the end of the world, or if I think about a Walking Dead scenario, or if I think about anything like that, I've thought in terms of biology, and that's the Walking Dead scenario. They all got the flu, and the people died, and then they wake up, right? And they're zombies, or some kind of terror attack that involves turning off the power, or some sort of economic collapse. Those are the things that you think about, that I've been thinking about. Haven't thought about a nuclear, and I've been around for a while, haven't thought about a nuclear attack for a long time. When I was a kid, I used to have dreams about that day. And I know that there's probably a lot of people that did have dreams about that day. The day of days, the final day when, you know, that moment of, and it's really an interesting dream, and I haven't had it in years, but occasionally I do still have it. I haven't had it in years, and I haven't thought about nuclear war in a long time until that stuff showed up on my YouTube feed and showed up in my Prime thing. And I didn't ask for it, you know, and the only reason it probably showed up in my Prime thing is probably because I've been watching those things on YouTube, so it showed up first in my YouTube, right? But the dream that I always have is, you know, I'm at my house that I grew up in, and I'm a kid, and I go out the back door, and everybody's saying that it's, you know, there's an attack on, and they're the planes are coming, and we all have to do whatever we have to do, and we're, nobody has time, and we're all in the backyard, and we're running around, and you see the planes are way up in the sky, and we see them, and they're little because they're way up in the sky, and then they come down in the backyard, and they're like models, they fall, and they're tiny little planes, and you run and you pick them up, and that's my dream, and then it stops. Isn't that bizarre? There's never any bombs or anything. But I'll just close with this. You know, I just think it's fascinating that that's what is showing up in my feed. So I would just advise everybody, watch closely you know, what's showing up in your feeds and why. And let me know through some sort of view. You can actually contact me through the website at thebobdavispodcast.com by clicking on the, I think it's contact or something. I think it's a contact form. I'd love to know what's showing up on your feed and how that's affecting you mentally. Because now that's in my head, right? Now I'm thinking about the potential for a nuclear war. And I'll just say this. So we're not talking about Hiroshima-level bombs. All those movies were based on an exchange of Hiroshima-level bombs. Oh, by the way, got to say this too. Speaking of stream of consciousness, Bill Gates is now suddenly talking about pandemics and that a pandemic disease is probably going to kill everybody. And if he's not talking about that, he's talking about artificial intelligence and how dangerous that is and everything else. So these, again, more things to worry about. But those movies were based on Hiroshima-type nuclear weapons being exchanged. Today's nuclear weapons, the weapons that would be used against us and that we would use against our enemies, are very large. So the Hiroshima bomb was about a 1.5 megaton nuclear weapon. So it's almost a tactical nuke by today's standards. The one on Nagasaki, I think, was actually smaller than that, or larger by, you know, half a megaton. These are 60 megaton devices that would blow up. And in my town, So the state fairgrounds, my understanding, is ground zero for its target. That's the target, the state fairgrounds, which is right in between Minneapolis and St. Paul. So if a 60 megaton nuclear device hit the state fair in Minneapolis and St. Paul, that one device would literally wipe out both cities completely. And if you lived anywhere within 50 miles, you'd be dead instantly. And 100 miles, you'd burn to death, probably. And more than that, you would die of radiation poisoning within hours. So, guess what? Any medium-sized nuclear exchange is going to destroy society as we currently know it. And, I mean, how many of us know? We know that. We don't need to be told that. So, it's very interesting to me that suddenly that's showing up on my feed. And that's what I've been thinking about. So, you know, after doing that long and involved thing, that whole, you know, nine, whatever, trying to figure out what's going to happen in elections, and the conclusion being, guess what? Whatever's going to happen depends on who votes, and it's going to happen. Then you get something like that, and you start saying, well, I'm being manipulated. I know that, number one. Number two, we're being manipulated because we think that everything that happens is the most significant, horrible thing that's ever happened. And, oh, those poor people and everything else. And what do we've got? Something has to be done, and we have to spend more money, and we have to do these things. And, you know, it's a terrible situation that's happening. And then you realize that something like that, an exchange like that, would be the end of civilization as we know it. And I was thinking today about American Indians and other indigenous people and wondering whether they are descendants of a previous Earth Age, and they have a distant memory and a distant culture that's based on something that is completely foreign to us, a different time and a different age that was destroyed. So I'll leave you with that exciting information. It's getting close to Halloween, right? So that's something to think about. Told you I was going to talk about Ryan Plumbing before the end of the podcast. I have to say, last year, my heat went out, and well, actually, it was this year because it was literally at midnight on New Year's Eve when it was, if you'll recall, I think it was something like 14 below zero. It was one of the coldest nights of the year. And my son was visiting, and we came home to watch movies. And, you know, we'd had our New Year's Eve dinner, and we went out, we came back, we were sitting, you know, in the living room, and we were watching a movie. And I said, does something smell weird to you? And he was like, no. And I was like, something ain't right here. And I just had, aside from the fact that I'd had a feeling that this was going to happen, I kept smelling this weird smell. I went downstairs to the furnace, and it was off. and I could not get it restarted. It was just broken, and it was 14 below zero outside. Now, we had somewhere to go, and that was fine, and of course, you know, the energy company brought over some space heaters and things like that, but it was unexpected. We did not check the heating system before the beginning of the year. Nobody inspected it before the beginning of the season, and that would have been something that you would have done in the fall. So now is the time to call Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business to have your heating checked, because when it comes to heating and air conditioning, keeping all these systems running right, especially these days at home or your business, water heaters, that's another thing that went out a few years ago. When you have plumbing or heating problems or air conditioning problems, especially the people in your life who are older, and don't check these things, you want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. In St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations. You guys know that. In Frogtown, in St. Paul, quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business, Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, the Google Podcast, Google Play, and right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. You can listen to the streaming, or you can click on an individual podcast and hit play, and it will play right off your phone or your PC or whatever you're listening to it on. Appreciate the likes and the shares and the favoriting and the following on Facebook and Twitter, and thanks for your donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 759, kind of a walk and talk, just pretty much walking around on the deck because it's too windy to go out in the park, so we just did it up here by the old grill under the tree. Thanks for listening to podcast 759, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Boop. Back to life, back to, yeah, we got it done. Reality, that's the main thing. Life, that is what we do. Life.